name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." From John 8. And St. Paul says in John 3, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith." Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All over the world today, Lutherans and other Protestant Christians are celebrating the Reformation of the Church. It began October 31st, 1517. And Reformation Sunday is always the Sunday closest to October 31st, which is today. The Reformation of the Church is much more than just an historical event, although it is that. These dates are well known to most of us, that on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther posted the 95 theses or sentences on the door in the church, the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. Martin Luther was opposing the practice of the Roman Catholic Church of the selling of indulgences so people could buy their way out of a supposed purgatory. Paul, in Romans chapter 3, had not taught that. And when Luther began to read the scriptures, especially the book of Romans, he wrote these 95 theses to oppose the sale of indulgences and said, if you look at Holy Scripture, repentance is a lifelong life of repentance, repenting of our sins, and salvation is by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, as is written in Scripture alone. Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. And in almost all the statues of Martin Luther, you see him holding a Bible like this, saying the Word of God alone is authoritative in the church. Read a good book about the life of Martin Luther as a pastor, as a professor, as a one who would be married, and he and his wife would have 7 children and adopt many children. And God used Martin Luther to reform the church. And the purpose of this reformation is this: so that you can be sure and confident that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to be with Jesus in heaven. That is what the Reformation is all about. The assurance of grace and faith and Scripture is the basis of our salvation. Now, as you can well imagine, when we get to the year 2017, that's going to be a really big year, because that will be the 500th anniversary of this day in 2017. The 95 Theses, which began the Protestant Reformation of the Church, is really a big deal. It's kind of like the Constitution of the United States. When it was written, we are still living with the results of that Constitution in our country today, of our federal democratic republic, and the freedoms that we have because of that Constitution. Well, we have even greater freedoms because of God's Reformation of the Church, to know that God's Word can be relied upon, and that you don't and you can't earn your way to heaven. Christ completed the work of your salvation in his blood upon the cross. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Unlike Oklahoma, there's a lot of Lutherans there. And every year when I was a kid, we would go to downtown Cleveland to the Civic Center, and thousands of Lutherans would show up, and we would sing Reformation hymns, and then the Lutheran Hour speaker would preach a sermon, and we'd sing more Reformation hymns. And I remember the impact that had on me as a kid, all these thousands of people singing A Mighty Fortress. And maybe some of you experienced that in your youth. It's a shame that Reformation is not as big a deal as it was when I was a child. But I'm reminded the importance of God's Word alone being the rock of our salvation, by the church that I grew up in St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Lakewood, Ohio, where I was raised. All of my uncles and aunts and grandparents attended there. I was baptized there and confirmed there. And the congregation has fallen on bad times, and the congregation is dissolved now. And I watched on YouTube as a wrecking ball knocked down this church, the stones and bricks collapsing, and there's a CVS pharmacy there now. How sad. However, the church is not buildings. We are the church. The church are the called saints in holy baptism who gather around word and sacrament. St. Paul's Lutheran Church brought thousands of people to the baptismal font, to the word of Christ. Those thousands of people are all around this country proclaiming the gospel, and I am one of those people. Even though those buildings are down, and even though this building someday will be gone, and there'll be a concrete slab here, and that'll all be left, the church remains, because the church is built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. The Holy Spirit has called you into the church. The church is people, you and I, saints in Christ, which we will celebrate next week on Consecration Sunday and All Saints Day. So what does it mean for us on this Reformation Day, so that it's not just some historical remembrance, but what it means to us today? It means this, as Jesus said. We hold to Jesus' teaching, and we know the truth. Believing in Jesus' word in Holy Scripture, most of you probably have five Bibles at home, one on the shelf, one on the coffee table, one on the dining room table. Knowing that word, being baptized into the triune name of God, you know the truth, not because you found it, but because truth has been revealed to you. Jesus is truth incarnate. He speaks the truth to you. Hold to Jesus' teaching, because you know the truth. Secondly, Jesus says, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, we are now free sons in the family of God. Jesus says, one who commits sin is a slave to sin. Our old Adam, our sinful nature, is a slave to sin. But that one, Jesus, who sets us free from sin, death, and hell, puts you in God's house. And if you are one of God's sons in holy baptism, then you've been set free from sin, death, and hell, and you have Christ's righteousness and life and heaven. You are free indeed. Then thirdly, St. Paul says that we have a righteousness that is by faith in Jesus' atoning sacrifice. One of the things that we as Lutherans emphasize is the preaching of both the law and the gospel. The law, St. Paul, is that all of us are underneath God's law, and before God our mouth is stopped. And the whole world is held accountable. By the law comes the knowledge of sin. The second use of the law, if you look at the law, it's like a mirror that shows your sin. No one can be justified before God based upon the law. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We do not and we cannot keep the law well enough to be saved. Therefore, the gospel is this. The righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law through faith in Jesus Christ in the propitiation by His blood. You want a righteousness before God? Well and good. But you're not going to find it in yourself. You find it in Jesus Christ. And the word propitiation by His blood means, as the Old Testament priests would come into the temple and sprinkle the blood over the mercy seat, the covering over the Ark of the Covenant, in which were the Ten Commandments, and that the cover was called the mercy seat, so Jesus has sprinkled His blood over the mercy seat in the heavens. And in that once-for-all sacrifice, God sees the blood covering us and gives His righteousness to those who have faith in Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness. All the things of this world will pass away. Your money, your job, your house, your cars, even your own life. It will all be gone one day. This treasure can never be taken away from you. This treasure that we have in Christ. as he says, being justified freely by his grace in the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I could spend a long time talking about all these pictures, which we don't have that time this morning. They're pictures before us of the gospel. Justified by his grace means that in the courtroom of God, because Jesus, the defense attorney, stepped into your place and said, I will take their punishment upon me, let them go free. God justified you, which means he declared you innocent in the courtroom of God. Redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We were slaves on the auction block. Jesus stepped into the midst of the crowd and said, I will purchase that slave, not with gold and silver, but my holy and precious blood, and purchased and redeemed us. Divine forbearance. Look how patient God has been with you. Forbearing through all of your life. He passed over former sins like the angel of death passed over the homes in Egypt of the Israelites because of the blood over their doors. God passes over your sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. And he is the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. When you trust Christ, he credits Christ's righteousness to your account. Your bank account was empty, but now it is filled with the wealth of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is what the Reformation is all about. Our theme this year in conclusion about our work in God's kingdom is the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. You've been put into his harvest field. We pray to the Lord that he will send out laborers, and he has. The reason that we have our church and our school, our childcare and our campus ministry and ESL is we are endeavoring with God's help to work in his harvest field. We give him our first fruits. We give Jesus the best. We don't give him the leftovers. The farmer brings the first of the corn and the wheat to give as a gift to the Lord. We don't give Jesus the leftovers. We give him the first fruits of all that we have. We do so with our tithes and our offerings. The reason we set a percentage, 10%, set a proportion of our salary, and set it aside for the work of God's kingdom, it matters not whether you're rich or poor, old or young. We give proportionally as God has blessed us. We plan to give, and we know with the widow's mite, just a small amount of money that the widow gave, everything that she had, God uses that in his kingdom. We do so with cheerful giving. We don't begrudge God all of his gifts. After all, he owns everything. We are just stewards. We give cheerfully and willingly because we are walking by faith, not by sight. We honor God by giving our gifts cheerfully. Next Sunday, we celebrate All Saints Sunday and remind ourselves of those who were sitting here with us a year ago and now have gone to be with the Lord and joined the saints in heaven. And as we plan our work in 2012 here in our church and school and campus ministry, we do this as saints here on earth who proclaim the praises of God of the saints who are already in heaven. So we rejoice this Reformation Day that we proclaim to our generation the same thing that Martin Luther proclaimed to his generation, the three solas, sola in Latin means alone, as pictured on the banner, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, as revealed in Scripture alone. For indeed, we rejoice today because we have a righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The Son has set us free, and that the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.